Truman, but he also had VCR tapes about giving speeches, and he worked at it every single day.
After the marathon terrorism last year, Menino hobbled around after broken leg surgery, rallying Bostonians. Thomas Menino was 71. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 221 points today. The Nasdaq was up 10. The S&P gained about 12. A judge in Los Angeles says it'll take a trial to figure out whether this song, Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke and Pharrell, was a ripoff of Marvin Gaye's music or not. They've been fighting with Gaye's children for more than a year over it. This is CBS News.
Cloud may be just another overused buzzword, but the cloud is an effective computing environment that can save your business time and money. Barracuda Networks is no stranger to the cloud. In fact, all of our security and storage solutions connect to the cloud for continuous updates and offsite redundancy. Barracuda's cloud also plays host to our email security, web security, file sharing, and e-signing services. We even offer solutions on Amazon's AWS and Microsoft's Azure public cloud platforms. To try any of our cloud-connected solutions free, visit barracuda.com/cloud.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts. Don't miss this limited time offer. We're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get 2 free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. Call 800-393-6272. That's 800-393-6272.
Iraqi officials say hundreds of Sunnis have been murdered by ISIS west of Baghdad just this week.
220 bodies have reportedly been found in 2 mass graves in Iraq around 70 miles west of Baghdad. They were members of a Sunni tribe opposed to the Islamic State and dragged from their homes Wednesday night. Many are believed to be police and members of an anti-ISIS militia. They were between 18 and 55 years old. Angry tribal leaders complain they have not received promised arms to counter ISIS. One reportedly says, "The Americans are all talk and no action." Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Trick-or-treating has been ruined for some kids in Pennsylvania's Pocono Mountains. Festivities canceled by officials in Barrett Township, including the annual parade, because police still search the area for alleged cop killer Eric Freen. Instead, families gathered at the school parking lot for a kind of Halloween tailgating. Trunk-or-treats. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Doing this afternoon. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and we have on the line with us today. He was supposed to be in studio, but hey, we're glad to have him as a call-in today, Judge Tom Ervin, who was the independent candidate for governor and withdrew on Tuesday and said he was throwing his support to Senator Vincent Shaheen. How you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing great, Ann. It's good to be with you.
It's good. It's good to finally get to talk to you. So, how has it been since you've changed your mind and supported Vincent Shaheen?
Well, it's been busy. We didn't make the decision until Tuesday morning, and then we decided we wanted to go ahead and get the word out quickly. So, because people are filling out absentee ballots and early voting, and we wanted to be fair to those folks and get the word out as quickly as we could. So we called a hastily called press conference at 2:00 at Falls Park here in Greenville. And
sure.
Vincent was campaigning in the upstate, so we were able to get him to come. And we announced that I was suspending my campaign and endorsing Senator Shaheen for governor. And the reasons that I did this are that I feel that our state needs new leadership. We really suffered during the last 4 years from a leadership void in the governor's office. And for so many reasons, which we can go into if you'd like, just feel that we need new leadership. So I put partisan politics aside, put my personal ambitions aside to endorse Senator Shaheen, who I believe is a man of integrity and honor and he can lead
right.
us. I don't agree with his entire agenda, but I think he is the better choice of the two major party candidates for Tuesday.
You mean, Tom, you're saying he's the lesser of two evils?
Yeah, I really had issues with Senator Shaheen, and I don't know if you watched the two gubernatorial debates, but you know, I took him to task on several issues, and but if you look at Governor Haley's stale record as governor, she is really is not deserving of a second term. So for those reasons, I believe that Senator Shaheen is the lesser of two evils, so to speak.
Okay, but you know, I just was a little surprised that here you were campaigning on a Tuesday morning, and all of a sudden the thought just came in your mind. I mean, gosh, Tom, I mean, you put, what, you had borrowed money, somewhere around $1.6 million, plus your own million, plus the supporters, $3.4 million. What made you wait till the very end to drop out? I mean, it's within the last week. Why didn't you drop out a couple months ago? It could have saved you a lot of money.
Well, I'll tell you what, we thought that we had a path to victory, and our internal polling numbers showed that we were building support, even through September and into early October. And I'm not sure what happened, but, you know, independent candidates typically can run into a wall because in South Carolina, for example, we have a straight party ticket voting. And so what we began to see was our support leveled off. And we're not making the progress we had hoped to make in terms of our plan to victory. And so it became apparent to me that it was time to suspend my campaign and do what's best for the state of South Carolina, and that is to endorse Senator Shaheen, who I believe will be a good governor. He'll work with all sides. He's worked across the aisle before. He'll be fair to Republicans and Democrats alike. And he'll lead us in the direction we need to go, which is to grow the economy for all, to fix our crumbling roads and bridges, our infrastructure, and most importantly, to provide honest leadership. You know, Governor Haley's just not been truthful with the voters of our state on so many occasions.
Mm-hmm.
She's been called out, not just by me, but by editorial boards around the state for exaggerating her job numbers, for example, for misrepresenting the facts of what was going on at the Department of Social Services before the Senate Investigative Committee. And there's just so many examples of where she misled us on important issues. And the state newspaper said she was either very reckless with the facts or she was an habitual liar.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what they said in their editorial back in July.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, Tom, that I wanted to discuss, though, a lot of the pundits out there are saying that you've just given her the path to victory.
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. You know, it's in a five-way race, who knows how the votes would be divided up at the end of the day.
Well, I think they're saying that Republicans that were leaning your way would rather now vote for Governor Haley than to go across the aisle to Senator Shaheen.
And that's entirely possible, and I respect everyone's right to make up their own mind, certainly. You know, we can have an honest difference of opinion about her record, and yet, at the end of the day, I wanted to step aside and give someone else a chance that I think is a man of integrity. We need honest leadership, and I just don't feel like Governor Haley's provided that to
It's
been so many times where she's let us down, and I can give you an example. You know, where she's been really deceitful. She takes credit for Boeing coming to South Carolina under some of her TV ads. But the truth is that when the Boeing incentives package came up for the vote, she was an Lexington County House member, and she missed the vote. She didn't even show up for the vote. And she was quoted in the Anderson Independent as saying that the Boeing financial incentives package was, quote, corporate welfare, end quote. So she was opposed to the Boeing incentives, and yet here today, she'll take credit for it by standing in the Boeing airliner in her TV ads.
I hate to tell you this, Tom, but there's a lot of people taking credit for Boeing being here in South Carolina, from our senators and the congressmen in the federal government, all the way down the line. So, I think everybody at the right opportunity takes credit for it. But as we just talk about some of the other issues out there, you know, one of the things that I thought that you were for, you know, I guess in the debate you said something to the effect that Will Rogers says we can get the best government we can pay for.
Right.
And you were calling out Governor Haley for taking $72,000. But on the flip side, you were calling out Senator Shaheen for taking $35,000, and you wanted them to return the contributions. Have you had a come-to-Jesus moment with Vincent Shaheen?
You know, you're right. I did call them both out. And, our contributions limit in South Carolina is $3,500. And so I felt that they both were exploiting a loophole in the law. Now, technically, it's legal to set up separate limited liability partnerships or corporations, and then use them to dole out political money. But, you know, it really raises questions, I think, about someone's ethics when they do that. So I did call them both out on that and ask them to return those contributions. Neither did, of course.
Well, that's kind of what I'm talking about, is that it seems that you were the alternate choice. You had actually shouldered the major burden of your campaign.
Well, we did, and I knew that I would have to do that because we got in late.
You still got 20,000 votes, though, to put you on the ballot.
The thing is that, Governor Haley and Senator Shaheen had really been running for governor since 2008, so they had a big head start. And they had already established donor base and volunteer efforts in every county. So getting in late, I think, hurt our chances. If I had it to do over again, I would start earlier, because it's a difficult uphill battle as an independent, and you need every advantage you legal kind of advantage that you can come up with. And We got into the race late, and I think that hurt our chances.
You know, but you build yourself as an independent Republican. What exactly did that mean?
Well, it means that I have voted in the Republican primary for the last 12 years and given primarily to Republican candidates. And my wife and I hosted a reception for Mitt Romney when he ran for president.
Mm-hmm.
We hosted a reception for Alan Wilson when he first ran for attorney general, and we've been active in Republican politics. I attend the first Monday meeting here, and I have for many years here in Greenville, which is a Republican group that meets once on first Monday of every month. So I consider myself a Republican. Now, I wanted to make a statement that I didn't want to be controlled by political party bosses, nor did I want to be controlled by special interest. And that's why I chose to run as an independent Republican. And maybe I'm naive because, you know, it was a tough fight to take on, because I refused to accept political action committee contributions or special interest donations. So I had to bear that burden myself. And you know, it was a costly effort, and yet, you know, I don't regret it, because we raised the level of the debate, and a number of issues were raised by our campaign that, had I not been in the race, those issues would not have ever been discussed.
Absolutely. You know, I agree with you on that point as far as raising a lot of issues, but do you think you will ever run for political office again?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to keep my options open, but my plans right now are to return to my radio station business there in Anderson and try to improve that small business that I own. And, of course, I practice law with my wife in Greenville, and we help. My part of the practice is helping people that have been turned down for Social Security disability. And so I'll continue to represent claimants before the Social Security Administration, if I think they, you know, are in fact disabled and are deserving and have a meritorious appeal. So those are the activities that I'm returning to. In fact, I'm calling you today from Greenville, where I'm trying to clean off my desk and get back to normal, so to speak, because it has been a very intense and
it's a whirlwind, isn't it?
It's been a whirlwind. It really has. And, you know, a lot of long days. But, you know, I enjoyed meeting people. I traveled the entire state. And one of the real joys of the campaign was meeting so many nice people. We have a great state in South Carolina and so many wonderful people. And I connected with so many of them. You know, there's a real independent streak, I think, in our people in South Carolina. And they appealed, you know, they were drawn to my message of getting away from special interest and partisan politics and trying to have common sense solutions for our state. And, you know, we just came up a little bit short in this campaign, but I have no regrets. I'm glad I ran, and I'm really pleased to know that the people in our state will have a clear choice on Tuesday. And I think that the two major party candidates will battle it out, and it should be a fairly close race.
Now, let's see, if I'm correct on this, didn't you borrow about $1.6 million?
Yes, that's right, and so I'll have to work hard to pay that back. I've got that to take care of, and, you know, we've got bills that are still coming in from our campaign. We'll do a final accounting. You know, I hope to get our filing done. It's due, I think, January, but we'll try to get it done by the end of the year and wrap that up. But we knew what we were getting into. It's a tough race when you run statewide, particularly when you're not a member of an established political party. So we knew going in it was an uphill battle, but we gave it a great fight. I'm proud of our effort. I'm proud of our volunteers and all the people that supported us. And I have no regrets.
But I just have to ask you, was there any type of trade-off for you in supporting Vincent Shaheen here? I mean, you know, I know of many opportunities.
I just think he's a better candidate. He's been honest in his dealings publicly and privately. He's a man of faith. He's a family man. And, you know, I've seen him work in the State House because I follow politics very closely, and he does work across the aisle, and he works with Republicans to get things done. He's expanded 4K in South Carolina, and,
sure.
You know, that's something that I believe in. I think that if we have to start early with our kids, make sure that they are ready for first grade. 80% of a child's intellectual development occurs before first grade, so I think that was wise on his part to try to get the best outcomes for public education. You've got to start with kids early. And so he championed that effort, and he's also tried to have an impact on the ethics reform. And I think he's in a much better position to lead on that issue than Governor Haley. Governor Haley, of course, has been ethically challenged throughout her public career. She's had to pay ethics fines on two occasions where she violated the law.
Yeah, but you said, but Tom, you said you wanted to drain the swamp of corruption in Columbia.
I do, and I still do. I'm going to be watching very closely. There's so much corruption in Columbia, and that factored into my decision. I believe that Vincent Shaheen is better qualified to lead on the issue of ethics reform than Governor Haley, for the reasons I mentioned now. She's been very loose and lax with her ethics, and that's why she's, you know, had to pay fines for using the state plane for personal business for taking the state SUV out of state for fundraisers, and, you know, she was fined for those activities, and then she was investigated for other activities when she was a House member. So,
sure.
I think Governor Haley has failed to lead on ethics. She said it was her top priority, and she failed to deliver. and the bill was pending in the Senate during the last week of the session. She was out of state two of the days that it was up for discussion.
Well, Tom, just out of curiosity, you know, you were a Democrat and then you became a Republican. What made you switch parties?
Years ago, and I'm 62 now, but when I was 28, the Democratic Party was a dominant party in South Carolina. And in fact, when I ran for the House of Representatives at age 28, there were no Republicans in Anderson County. There were no elected Republicans. In fact, I had no Republican opposition in the general election. It was all a Democratic state. Things changed over the years, and most of my career I was not involved in politics. I was a circuit court judge, and I was not allowed to be involved in politics during that large part of my career. So when I retired from the bench, I came back to a state that had changed politically. You know, I never changed. I was always a physical and social conservative. But the state shifted from a predominantly Democratic state to a predominantly Republican or red state. And so I switched too. When I came back and began to, after I retired as judge, began to decide I wanted to get back involved, I contributed primarily to Republicans, and I voted in every Republican primary. So ever since I've been in Greenville for the last 12 years. So, you know, the state changed. I never changed. I sponsored conservative measures when I was in the House of Representatives as a Democrat. As a young man, I was one of the co-sponsors of the constitutional amendment capping state spending.
So is it kind of hard then for you to take your principles and put them towards Senator Shaheen as a Democrat, since you say that you've always been Republican or fiscal conservative leaning?
Well, you know, I think we throw these labels around rather carelessly sometimes. And what I've asked people to do is just take a look at the character of the two candidates. First thing you have to have as a leader is someone that's honest and has integrity and principle. If they're not going to tell you the truth, then I don't want them leading my state. I want a leader that's going to speak the truth. And that is more important to me than partisan politics. Now, for some, they may say, well, I'm a Republican, and I'm just going to hold my nose and vote for Haley. I can overlook all of her faults and failures. I'm not that way. I put principle over partisan politics.
Okay. So change at any changing in Columbia, any change is preferable regardless of what the direction it takes our state?
Not any change, but better change. And we need leadership right now. As I mentioned, you know, our Speaker of the House just pled guilty.
Right.
After having been indicted for ethics violations. And the news media is reporting there are going to be more indictments. Apparently there's a federal investigation ongoing. And so there is so much corruption. And it needs to be fixed, and it can be fixed, but it's going to take strong leadership. So look at both candidates and ask yourself in your mind, would you rather have someone that's violated the ethics law and paid fines and lied to our people about a number of important facts, or would you rather have somebody that you may not always agree with but is honest? And I made the choice of wanting an honest leader. I want someone that we can trust, and someone that when they speak, we can believe what they say. Now, keep in mind that both the State House of Representatives and the Senate are controlled by Republicans. And so the Republican Party is still in charge. A Democratic governor can only make suggestions. The General Assembly controls the legislative process. And you know, it's an important post, but we have a legislative state. As you know, our Constitution sets us up to be a legislative state and a weak governor. But yet, you know, it's important for me to have someone that's honest, and someone is going to speak the truth. And that's what I believe Vincent Shaheen will do. And unfortunately, Nikki Haley has failed to do.
I understand. But, you know, I think, like you said, there's there's some ethic issues on both sides here.
There are. There are. And you know, I told Vincent that he needs to set up an example and make sure that he, you know, leads by example.
By returning $35,000?
I'm sorry?
By returning $35,000 from the trial lawyers?
Yeah, he should return that money because while it's not a violation of the law, it's exploiting a loophole in the law. And in my mind, that's not really something that our governor should do. We should follow not only the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. And so I called him out on that, and I'll continue to call him out when I think he's wrong.
I understand. Well, listen, Tom, you know, I you sound a little down.
Not really. You know, I'm tired because I haven't gotten a whole lot of sleep in the last several months. We had some long days. We traveled the state, and, you know, I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and drive sometimes 100, 200 miles to get to a venue to get started at the first town hall at 8. And some days we'd have 5 and 6 events and then conference calls at night with our staff. And so I'm tired. I'm ready for a rest. I really am. I'm worn out.
I lost
weight, you know, walking around so much. I lost a lot of weight, and so I'm looking forward to enjoying my wife's good cooking for a while.
And so what are you going to do after the... Are you going to be appearing out there with Vincent in the last few days here?
No, I don't think so. I did go around the state with him yesterday. He asked me to go around and have... We had a series of press conferences yesterday. We started out... I'm talking about long days now. We got up at 4... My wife and I got up at 4 in the morning, drove to Spartanburg, and then we took a flight to, started out in Charleston, had a press conference there. Then we went to Myrtle Beach. Then we went to Rock Hill and had a press conference there. And then we went to Columbia and had another press conference there. And I decided that my wife and I went back home after that, Columbia stopped. But he kept going. So you can see these are long days in the campaign, and particularly in the closing days. It's really people don't have no idea how much pressure and stress you're under. But, you know, it's part of it, so you have to be strong. It's kind of like running a marathon. You just have to keep moving.
That's right. So what do you plan to do after the election, Tom?
Oh, we're going to get back to, my normal life. It's good to have my life back because... you know, I spent so much time in the car traveling and on the phone and trying to build support. But, you know, that's part of it, and it was exciting. And like I say, I met so many fine people. I came to Greenwood. We had a town hall out at the Greenwood Country Club, and it was packed. And there's so many nice people in the Greenwood community and in that area.
Right.
And then I was in Abbeville for their... memorial for the victims of 9/11, and I spoke as a guest speaker there, and so I was in and around the upstate a lot, and we really, you know, while I knew a lot of people up here, we met so many new friends, and
sure.
We were able to also reconnect with old friends. It was really, really a lot of fun in that regard.
Well, Tom Irwin, I know that you probably are going to take a little time off, though, and just revive those batteries and after the election. And I wish we had gotten you during your campaign, but I certainly appreciate you calling us this afternoon.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And listen, I appreciate what you do to try to keep our folks informed. And, you know, being a radio station owner, you know, it's important, I think, for our stations to continue to be involved, and it provides a public service. So thank you for your show, and thank you for having me this afternoon.
All right. Judge Tom Irwin, thank you so much for calling us this afternoon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.